This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
My guest on Bent Notes tonight is a composer, a trumpeter, and a sound artist who explores the intersections of jazz, experimental, and world music traditions, and perhaps he creates new technologically assisted traditions as well. It's my pleasure to welcome to Bent Notes Peter Knight.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
My pleasure indeed, Peter. To hear someone described as exploring the intersections of jazz, experimental, and world music traditions, it sounds rather complex. Is it complex, and what does it really mean in plain English?
That's a really curly question, first up.
And I should say that we only have a short time. We don't have 5 hours tonight.
Okay. So I would have thought that was fairly plain English, actually. I mean, I'm really interested in the way that things collide, you know? And I think in contemporary Australia, we live in a culture where we don't have a music tradition that is Australian, apart from the Indigenous traditions that are Australian. But, you know, we white city folk, we kind of are taking from all of the traditions around us, and the people who've come here from other countries, they're also being influenced by different traditions, and we're sort of working towards something that we could call an Australian music, I guess. So I'm kind of interested in those collisions, and I think those collisions exist between cultures, they exist between disciplines, approaches, genres, and so that's kind of where my musical interest is focused. It's a very diverse output, and I'm into quite a few different things, but I kind of see them all as engaging with that same notion.
When you're trying to put these things together, how do you approach putting them together? Because some of these things, particularly from the cultural perspectives, are very different.
You're right. I mean, I think that it is a challenge, and I would put it really simply by saying we approach it by creating friendships. And the thing that, you know, when we're talking about, like, collaborating across cultures, I mean, that's particularly important because it doesn't really, I don't think good music comes out of treating people like kind of cultural objects, like, oh, we'll do something with a Korean musician and we'll find ways to put Western and Korean music together. That doesn't really, in my experience, lead to such interesting results. But if, you know, you take a relationship that's built up over a period of time, and when there's been lots of conversations and lots of thinking about these different kinds of music, or even just, I think it's about trust, you know, between people. So we've found that, you know, the most kind of interesting results come from reasonably long committed engagements. And, you know, you just played a track from Waterbrush's Sand, which is written by Eric Griswold. That whole album's written by Eric Griswold. And Eric Griswold and Vanessa Tomlinson, his partner, have been going to Chengdu and learning about Sichuan traditions for the best part of 20 years now. And I first went to Sichuan with them way before I became artistic director of the Australian Art Orchestra in 2010, I think it was, and did a project with them over there. You know, those relationships and that music has been kind of being worked on for a very, very long time, and it's based on quite profound relationships and friendships.
When you're working on these things, Peter, trying to put the musics together, is it literally just everyone together put their head in the pot and come up with something? Or does someone come up with something and say, give me your feedback?
Yeah, so different people have different approaches. And if we're talking about the Australian Art Orchestra, there's a few different composers that are creating works for a range of different projects. So I know that Eric, for Waterbrush's Sand, Eric basically just went away by himself and wrote hour-long suite of music, but he wrote it with strong basis in knowing those instruments and those traditions and those people. So in that case, it was really kind of traditional composer approach. He wrote an hour of music. We all assembled in Chengdu, and then we worked on that music together. And then there was a process of, you know, feedback and responses, and then Eric will go away and adjust things, and or, you know, I think that's very common too in all kinds of composition. You know, in the case of our work with the songmen from Noongar, David and Daniel Wilfred, who come from Northeast Arnhem Land, a place called Noongar, you know, that's a very collaborative process. And I think, you know, Paul Grabowski, the founding art director of the Australian Art Orchestra, really set up an approach where we tried to kind of like create a space for this conversation, this musical conversation, and these just these friendship conversations. And then we sort of hand over as artistic control as we can, you know, so that it really, so that we're really feeling like it's an equal situation, and it's not, you know, a bunch of guys from the city coming up and then kind of taking these amazing traditions and setting them in some way. But it, we want to be challenged. We want it to be robust, and because of that it's also sometimes difficult and uncomfortable, and you don't know what's going on or what you're doing or, you know, what relevance your kind of other kinds of training have got in the situation. And that's sort of exciting, that feeling of not knowing as well. And I know it's been a really amazing trip for me getting to know those guys and getting a sense of where they're coming from.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
My guest on Bent Notes tonight is composer, trumpeter and sound artist Peter Knight. Peter, when you're dealing with all these different cultures and putting them all together, you certainly describe that situation as being very much a sharing and caring environment where everyone has the opportunity to put in and contribute. You're performing with Kim Ma and the Australian Art Orchestra during the Melbourne International Jazz Festival. Has it been a similar process for that particular activity, or is this music that Kim's brought with him?
It's music that Kim's bringing with him. He's finishing off the composition at the moment, and he has sent through a bunch of sketches to all the musicians. Some of them are sketches made as recordings, and then there's some scored material. But his process is very much like he's writing for the musicians and leaving lots of space for the musicians to bring their own personal language. So he's been very interested in researching the individuals in the group. So it's not just a matter of writing for a trumpet, writing for a violin, writing for a double bass. He's kind of like been wanting to access recordings of people's different kind of improvisatory approaches so that he can kind of harness that energy. So I would say that he's bringing to us an architecture and creating spaces within that architecture to bring out the different voices in the group. But, you know, it has, and it is a very caring and sharing environment. He's a really incredibly lovely person, as well as being a ferocious musician. He's a very, very sweet guy. So that's been lovely so far.
So you've been communicating with him electronically to date, and that sounds like quite a challenging process.
We've spent a bit of time together. I first met him when we shared a bill at a couple of festivals in Denmark, 2014. And so we played in Aarhus together, solo performances, but on the same bill. And then we played in Copenhagen as well. And we started talking then, and I, you know, kind of felt a good kind of connection with him. And then, you know, he's also got connections with Australian musicians because he lived here for a little while. Then I was in Norway last year, and we'd been talking again about the possibility of him writing something for the orchestra. So we spent about 3 days together, and we played quite a lot, and we talked about music and ideas and the group and the different musicians that were kind of part of the pool of players we used and who we might bring into the project. And then we also ate a lot of really fantastic food, which is
most important.
Very important. And there's a lot of really excellent beer in Norway as well. So we tried a little bit of that as well.
Oh, very good.
It's very convivial.
That suggests to me that the show at the substation on Saturday, June the 9th, will be a very convivial show.
I think it will be, actually. Well, I think it's a really great group of musicians and a great group of people. Very excited about the combination. And it's actually kind of a new combination for us. We've got a couple of people coming into the group who haven't played in it before, including Tony Buck from The Next and Aviva Endian, the extraordinary clarinetist. So that's kind of interesting too, because it's something kind of new. Apart from just Kim, there's some sort of new kind of angles as well with those people. very strong musicians.
For our listeners who have not got in their minds what they might be hearing, how would you describe the music on that night?
I think that, you know, what I know of Kim's music and his kind of oeuvre is that it's quite minimal, it's hypnotic, but it's also quite ecstatic. I mean, when I listen to his music, I kind of hear a bit of Sonic Youth. I hear a bit of kind of, I don't know if he'd like this, but things like some of those kind of ecstatic, kind of minimal pop groups like Arcade Fire, and, you know, get that rolling kind of guitar, jangly kind of thing happening. He seems to celebrate the guitar in that way, but in a very different context.
We should say, of course, that Kim is a guitarist, isn't he?
Yeah, and he specialises in the 12-string guitar. You know, his music has been described as a love affair with the 12-string guitar. He sets up these big kind of lush walls of sound with the 12-string guitar, lots of strumming, and then he changes the harmonics really subtly and things slowly move and morph. I really enjoy his music because it's actually quite accessible at the same time as being quite kind of unusual and strange in a way. So it's kind of alluring and kind of unusual. I think that's a really nice combination.
Does that say there's something in it that's familiar that you might not be able to put your finger on straight away, but it's keeping you listening for the next bit of unfamiliar?
Yeah, it's something that's like there's something drawing you in. There's something kind of lulling you and something quite sensual about it and quite open, but it's also kind of strange. I mean, his solo performances, you know, when I first heard him play solo, it really messed my head up, actually, in a good way. But it was a very strange combination between anti-virtuosic and virtuosic.
Oh.
Because, you know, and in the way that rock guitar can be kind of anti-virtuosic and yet incredibly refined.
Yes.
So he basically, in the solo performance I heard, and I don't know if that's what he'll do on the 8th of June when we do the three solos, but the solo performance that I heard, he started to strum the 12-string, just very fast strumming, jugga, 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 like that. And at first you're kind of thinking, yeah, yeah, okay, you're strumming this guitar, or what's going to happen next? And then things just change very, very slowly, and he'll move one finger, and then the whole harmonic kind of ringing of the guitar will change. And after a while, though, you start to kind of create a strange spell. And then you start becoming aware of the duration and the fact that he's now been strumming that guitar for 20 minutes like that.
Wow.
How is he still doing it? And then 25 minutes and then a half an hour. And by then you're going, the guy is a complete freak. You know, like the virtuosity is astounding. So it's this quite strange, it's quite conceptual, but also and kind of simple and kind of like rock music in a way, in a really good way, you know.
It's very interesting when you're listening to someone who does something like that, and as you say, you don't realise just how much time has passed and you've just been sitting there in thrall. That's an amazing skill.
Now, Peter, yeah, it really is.
You mentioned another show the night before that show on the Friday the 8th of June. Now, both of these shows are at the substation in Newport. There's a
resident company now, which is exciting.
Excellent. There's a show on that Friday night which features three performers, of which you are one, Kim's another.
Correct.
And that show is actually three...
And not Tony Buck.
Tony Buck, that's it. That show,
the,
though, is...
The great Tony Buck.
That's three solo artists in the one show.
That's right, yeah.
What are you doing on that night? Because I've read the description and it sounds rather interesting, with a Revox reel-to-reel and dropping rice.
Yeah, so I've been working on this performance. I've been integrating electronics via the laptop and my trumpet for a long time, processing and also using amplifiers and feedback. But a couple of years ago, I started to get into the Revox, and I've been mostly using the Revox in sound design and theatre kind of settings, but I've started to try to work to my setup with the trumpet. And I've been developing this piece that is really just around delays. So I use some delays from the computer and I use the Revox reel-to-reels as a big tape delay. It's a kind of a hypnotic minimal piece. There's actually a video on YouTube I made of this work. I think it's called Solo for Trumpet Revox. Trumpet Delays, Tape and Rice. And so if any of your listeners want to search it, it's there. Again, I like to try to create sensual worlds. That's also doing something that maybe is a little unexpected. Rice is a way of kind of sounding the trumpet. I drop the rice onto the trumpet and there's a contact mic on the trumpet I also play the trumpet, but at the end, it ends up in this kind of different texture with the rice making the bell of the trumpet ring instead of the usual vibrating, making the trumpet bell ring. I'm looking forward to presenting that in the substation. I've been mucking around with it for a long time, so I think it's time to give it a public outing.
Very much so. I love the idea that it's available to have a quick look at on YouTube before we go to see it on the Friday night. I might go and have a look at that myself, I think, because that when someone puts food in the midst of music, it always intrigues me how that's going to work. Peter, thank you very much for your time tonight. We're looking forward to that show on the Friday the 8th of June at the substation. Starts at 8 o'clock for three artists performing solo, including you with your solo for trumpet, delays, tape loops and rice. And then on the Saturday, the 9th of June, it's Kim Ma and the Australian Art Orchestra, of which you are a part there, working to show off this, I suppose we could call it a brand new work, couldn't we?
It's a world premiere. It's a very exciting thing. I think it's the first time that Kim has presented a large composition, a composition for a large ensemble in Australia. So it's a really exciting thing, you know. And he was nominated for the Nordic Music Prize next to Björk recently. So this is a guy who's really very interesting and very much on the rise in Europe, and I think it's an exciting time for him to be visiting, and it's a very exciting time for people to get to hear him. He's a youngish composer who's really doing very interesting things and on the rise.
More information, of course, on both of those gigs at melbournejazz.com. Tickets and all information about the shows and, of course, the rest of the festival as well. Peter, thank you so much for chatting tonight here on Bent Notes. Look forward to hearing more about the Peter Knight story and seeing more of your music out and about there and watching more of of your work to put the jazz, the experimental and world music traditions together, intersecting them and creating something brand new. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.